Zacchaeus' story is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Luke 19, beginning with verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among tax collectors, was rich. He was trying to see Jesus, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus, who was passing that way. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your home today." So Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. Everybody who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I will repay them four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household, because he too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The people of Jericho wouldn't have thought anything about it if Jesus had stopped to talk with a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the celebrities of the day, right? But nobody would have thought Jesus should have wasted his time on Zacchaeus. After all, he was a tax collector. Well, the tax collector in last week's parable was portrayed as a model of prayerfulness. It was to make a point by way of an unexpected turn in the story. Tax collectors were often categorized alongside sinners. Jesus was criticized here and on other occasions for associating with tax collectors and sinners. What was it about tax collectors that set them in such low esteem in the eyes of their community? The tax collector in last week's parable even self-identified as a sinner. It seems everybody except Jesus agreed. Why would tax collectors have been so despised? Victor Westfell offers this explanation. Tax collectors, not to mention chief tax collectors, were considered a special class of sinners by the Jews for a number of reasons. They were fellow Judeans who were working for the Roman occupiers. They not only got rich impoverishing others, but were known to send troops to invade homes of those who were allegedly withholding unreported goods. Presumably, Zacchaeus and his cronies invaded the homes of common people and plundered them. The more goods they could tax, the richer they became. That was Zacchaeus' goal, and he was very good at it. Luke says he was rich. Was that a fair judgment of tax collectors? Jesus saw potential in them, whether it was an accurate assessment or not. And it wasn't just Zacchaeus. Even one of the 12 disciples, Matthew, was called to follow Jesus from the tax table. I mean, after all, the tax collectors were simply doing what they could do to make it in their corner of oppression. Life in Jericho and across Judea was rough. Rome was not an accommodating landlord. The majority of the Jewish people found themselves with very little on which to survive and even less hope of ever having any more. They watched as the plight of their families and friends became increasingly precarious. Why else would they have been awaiting the coming of the Messiah with so much anticipation? But their hope was fading. Why not do whatever you could to fend for yourself within the shadows of Roman domination? Others were doing it too. Even the temple leaders sought ways to protect their places of power by endearing themselves to and standing in collusion with the empire. With no Messiah in sight, tax collectors were seeking a way to survive in the harsh world in which they found themselves. After all, somebody was going to get that job. Why not take the money and run? Why not catch what break life had to offer? Why not try to find a way to survive, to benefit from the system? Luke, the physician, seems to have given Zacchaeus somewhat of a physical before casting him in this role in the gospel account. He tells us that Zacchaeus was short in stature, or as the song goes, a wee little man. Turns out that the children's song might have done more to capture the nuance of the Greek language than the translators of Scripture. Commentators are quick to point out that the Greek word for stature can also be translated as maturity or even metaphorically of character. In other words, Zacchaeus did not have much character. He was held in low esteem. This is the case whatever his actual physical height. He was, by any estimation, a wee little man. What do we little men do? Westfeld tells us how people like Zacchaeus compensate for their low character. They climb. They will do whatever it takes to get above the common folk, who they know have more character than they do. They climb political ladders or corporate ladders. Zacchaeus, we know, climbed a nearby sycamore tree. But the symbolism is the same. His aim was to raise himself above the common folk. Climbers gotta climb. Climbers are climbing for themselves and for their own survival. Somewhere along the way, climbers forget about those over whom they are climbing. Forgotten is the suffering of those left behind or who get stepped on by the climbers. Climbers gotta keep climbing. Rising above is one thing, but staying above, well, you gotta stay on your game. Always climbing higher to stay on top. Always climbing faster to stay ahead. Sometimes it works. It had worked for Zacchaeus. He had stepped on people in Jericho. He had stepped on the guys at the office climbing the corporate ladder until he got the title and all the power that went with it of being the ruler. The chief tax collector. He had started climbing to survive, and he had kept climbing until he was rich. He had climbed until he got on top, but he had also climbed, well, until he found himself out on a limb. Willie Duane Francis III described Zacchaeus' predicament. As a Jew who was working for Rome, Zacchaeus lived at the intersection of riches and loneliness. Herein is found a warning for the climber in all of us. People who are no different from anyone else. People who are up against harsh challenges of the system. People who realize the only way to do that is to just start climbing and then find out that once you start climbing, there is no turning back. The warning is this. Climbing isn't the way to escape the system. Climbing just makes you a part of it. You become what you seek to overcome. Climbing seems to be your way out, but before you know it, you're way out on a limb. It is what Andrew Root describes as the isolation and alienation that result from getting caught up in the system. The system of the secular age, a system of acceleration. Acceleration that disconnects us from the world. Alienation is a relationship which is marked by the absence of a true, vibrant exchange and connection. In the state of alienation, self and the world appear in an utterly indifferent or even hostile way, like the people of Jericho and Zacchaeus. Like climbers everywhere and every day, and the world over whom we climb. Root says, if modernity creates the conditions for this alienation through continued acceleration, it's no surprise that when alienated from a living world, we have no eyes to see the living God. That was Zacchaeus' real problem right there. That was why he couldn't see Jesus. His ceaseless climbing might have gotten him above others, but it also gotten him out on a limb, alienating him from his community, isolated and vulnerable. From that place of isolation, from that place of alienation, you have no eyes to see the living God. What's a climber to do? Well, the good news of the gospel for Zacchaeus and for climbers everywhere is that there is hope. There is grace. That hope and grace are heard in what Jesus had to say to Zacchaeus. Come down at once. Just stop climbing. Come down from your place of alienation. Come down out of your isolation. Come down off of that limb. Stand again among your people. Stand with your community. Renew your connection. Just quit climbing already. Come down at once. Jesus offers Zacchaeus a way out and a way down, a route beyond the ruins of his past, a chance to live outside the system of predatory pragmatism in which he was entrenched. Salvation comes to Zacchaeus' house. Jesus offers Zacchaeus a way to shift the narrative of his life. Zacchaeus responds by creating a new story, counter-narrative to the breathing and short-sighted crowd that was angry with him. Luke seems to have left a lot out of what happened between Zacchaeus and Jesus after Zacchaeus came down out of the tree. Nothing of the conversation is recorded, either on the road or at the house of Zacchaeus. It seems to imply to me that once Zacchaeus had stopped climbing, had gotten down out of the tree, once Zacchaeus stood among the people of Jericho again, once he could see Jesus, that might have been enough to cause a transformation of heart and life within Zacchaeus. Once he could see Jesus, he could see new purpose for his life. He could stop climbing over people and start lifting them up. He could stop climbing within the system and start building a whole new system, one that was based on connection, compassion, and generosity. I'm not sure what part of the story would have seemed best to Zacchaeus. It was a true gift of grace, I think, to know that he could just stop climbing. After all the exhausted days and nights, no more climbing. Maybe it was being rescued from being out on a limb, being able to overcome his isolation and stand among his people again. Not only did he stand among them, Zacchaeus was now determined and committed to do anything and everything he could to lift others up. This is the message of hope and grace to climbers everywhere. Just stop climbing. Come down at once. Amen.